You are listening to Affirmations for Living with Edvige, where each week you're invited to join in our upbeat discussion as we look deeper into spiritually based principles that can change your life. We know that change can open doorways to new beginnings, and we are dedicated to helping you make the changes needed to improve your life. And now, here is your host, Reverend Dr. Edvige. Hello, everyone, and welcome in once again to this wonderful Wednesday evening, early evening. Thank you for being here. Of course, I know how much I appreciate each and every one of you because there's only a million things you could be doing, right? And so your time is valuable, and I thank you for spending it with me. Also, of course, you know, I always say if you like what you hear, please spread the word and tell your friends and family about us. It's all about making the changes, and we're the ones that are here to make those changes. And so we spread the word, right, in order to do that. Of course, you know, my goal is for all of us to advance on this path of life. So with that said, if you haven't already visited my website, please do so today, affirmationsforliving.net. You know that I am a transformational life coach, and I also do energy work. And so I invite you to check everything out on my site or my BBS site as well. If you haven't downloaded my app, Awakened, I would invite you to do so. That way, you can listen anywhere you are. You don't have to be trapped to your computer. You can listen on the go. So that's Awakened, A-W-A-K-E-N-E-D, and that is a free download, and we send out affirmations and all sorts of things every week or so. So with that said, my guest today is Tim Doyle. He is an ordained metaphysical minister. He's also a Reiki master, certified Kundalini yoga instructor. He works with the Great White Brotherhood and the Golden Ones. And that's what today's show is all about, the Golden Ones. Who they are, you know, this sounds really new with everything that's going on in the world as we're moving into the Golden Age, as we're moving into this time that the Bible and so many other books, right, have spoken on. This is the time that we're here. So it's interesting to see who these beings are and why they're here and what their message is, because it seems like more and more benevolent beings are coming in and sharing with us, helping us to evolve, helping us to expand. You know, some of you know my story, how I've been visited by beings from the time I was 12 years old, being taught that I was that bridge between heaven and earth and those things that I was here to accomplish. And so it's just interesting to find more and more people who are having their own experiences. And, you know, that leads me to my book, You're Not Crazy, You're Awakening, because it will be out in a few weeks. And that's what it's all about, showing you how you can have your own experiences. So Tim also traveled, and many entities from other dimensions have visited him during his meditations and in his dream state. So it's really interesting how we have some of the similar things that, you know, we are multidimensional beings, and it's so amazing when we are able to let go of this illusion that everything is solid, that everything we're seeing right in front of us is it. I know people listening on the BBS radio know that this is not it. There is so much more. There are so many more dimensions, and it is all right here in front of us, and we just need to train our train of thought, right? We need to move out of this illusion and really let go and clear and get into the flow, as I often talk about, being in the flow and connecting in. And so, Tim, I know you're there, so I want to welcome you in. Thank you for joining me today, because I just keep going on and on and on.
Listen, I'm enjoying what I'm hearing, so continue.
So thank you so much. You know, it's wonderful. Once again, everything is so divine, because how, you know, we cross each other's paths, again, is just wonderful and amazing. And here you are. And I think this is going to be just a wonderful hour and a half or so, and we'll continue to grow and do things together. So welcome. Nice to have you.
My pleasure to be here. Thank you very much.
So before we get started with the golden ones, who is Tim? Let's just, do a little background, if you will, on you, because you've had a really amazing life as a minister, a Reiki master, Kundalini instructor. I mean, there's lots of things going on in addition to the golden ones. So please share those things with us as well.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I guess I started when I was little, and I was an altar boy. I was raised Catholic. I was an altar boy, and whatever I asked for, I always got. I'd have to be up at maybe 6 o'clock in the morning to get to the 6:30 mass. So I would ask my loved ones to wake me up at 5:45. And sure enough, 5:45, I would wake up. They would wake me up, and I'd look at the clock, and anything I asked for, I wouldn't ask for anything, major, but just little things. Mm-hmm. And I just found this connection with my inner world, with spirit, that I could, I thought it was my guardian angels or who they were or anything like that. But I was just, I just got whatever I asked for. And just growing up, I was always, I wanted to become a priest. Mm-hmm. And I went to the seminary up in Rochester, New York. And I lasted about a year. And I hate to say this, but I was a little disappointed in how I was treated as a person in the seminary. So I left that. And then I just struggled through life until I got married. And then once I got married, I just seemed like I went to an ordained minister, and Reverend Shirley D, and she gave me a reading, and I asked her, how did she do that? She says, all you have to do is meditate. So I went home, started meditating, and as soon as I started meditating, I'd start seeing colors, and then things were happening in my body, which I didn't even know what a chakra was, but I was opening up my chakras one by one. First, second chakra, my second, my third, my fourth, and then I had an out-of-body experience. And when I had that out-of-body experience and I was out of my body, the first thought that came to my mind is, all I am is consciousness. And that was it. And from there, my life just started evolving into entities appearing to me, and astral traveling and so forth. And it just, until recently, the past 9 months, and it's kind of funny that you indicated you're a transformational coach, and that's what my life has been. It's a transformation, a birthing in the past 9 months. What I thought life was about, and I'm 65 years old, and I'm finding out now in the past nine months when the golden ones came to me, and they taught me about the purpose of being here on Earth. And it was just transformational. I mean, I am a completely different person than I was 9 months ago.
Isn't that just amazing? And I want the audience to really hear that, because you said you're 65, and in the last 9 months, you've had this major transformation. See, that is the one thing that is constant, change and hopefully growth. And so we really have to take that in and just understand this is a learning school, right? This whole earth, this whole experience is here for us to expand. And it's so amazing, and I love how you were told by Shirley, I think her name you said, to meditate. For me, I was told to meditate literally one morning in an altered state. A Syrian woman appeared to me and said, we are ready to teach you meditate. I'm like, oh my God, okay. So they were already showing up before I ever meditated. And I started to astral travel at 12 when a Hathor would come in and visit me and take me out of my, bed. So it's just amazing that there are some principles underneath all of this that apply. And it's simply, they are the truth. So wherever you are, understanding that meditation is really important. So as we go through this next hour or so, hear the principles that are coming through this so that you know what you should start to do in your life so that the clarity, right, the visions, and certain things will come to you. And so right out the gate, meditation, extremely important. Would you agree with that, Tim?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And why it's important.
Thank you.
Because there's a place you go that you find yourself. You find yourself in this place, and you learn to control your thoughts. And your thoughts, you need to be conscious of your thinking in every moment, because the universal mind is constantly talking to you. And if you don't meditate, then you're not going to become aware of what you're thinking. Mm-hmm. And that's the whole purpose of meditation, is becoming aware of your thoughts in every moment. And it's not as difficult as you may think out there. It's if you start practicing, it only takes a couple of weeks to know your thoughts in every moment. And that is the most precious gift you could give yourself.
Absolutely. And you know, and I definitely teach that in my practice as well, because there's this thing called autopilot, right? And people wonder, why am I still getting the same results? Because you're still doing the same things and you're on autopilot. And we've lost the ability to become conscious thinkers. We just do the same thing the same way. We go, we have our favorite clothes, our favorite foods, our favorite movies, our favorite songs, and we just stay right there, and we don't think about any of these things. We've got to get off of autopilot. We have to become aware of the now moment. Source is in this present moment. We have to connect in to where we are right now, because on autopilot, you're continuing to manifest whatever through default. When we become consciously aware and become conscious thinkers, we now are setting the intention. So in this moment, I'm aware of what I'm thinking. In this moment, I can create what I want to experience moving forward. And so it's so important that we get off that autopilot and we become consciously aware and pay attention to what we're feeling, what we're thinking, what we're vibrating to, because all of those things are how we create. So
not only that, but also you become a conscious listener, because the universal mind is always giving you the answers. And if you're not in that frequency, you're not hearing the message that they're giving you, because you're on that mundane frequency, like, what am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
And when you shift into another frequency of being conscious of your thoughts, then you can listen to when the universal mind speaks to you, and you hear the answers to those questions that you have from your soul. So very important. It's a listening and thinking process.
Wonderful. And you know, so, you know, I shared with you yesterday those a few episodes where I had that outside voice.
And I enjoyed every story you gave me.
And so I think that bears then to this becoming consciously aware and the listening, because as I was sharing with Tim yesterday, okay, so I'll never forget this one time getting a flat tire, you know, going on with the story, but letting it bother me. And later on, early in the morning, the following morning, as I was like 4 o'clock in the morning, and I'm home by myself, my husband's out of town, and I hear this outside voice, and this outside voice says to me, disconnect from an uneven temper. And I jumped out of bed, and I'm like, who's there? Hello? And the voice says it again, disconnect from an uneven temper. And you know, obviously, I'm like, well, let me write this down because I won't remember this in the morning. And this is not me speaking. I don't speak like that. Who on earth is it? And they said, love is all you need. And so I sat there and I'm like, okay, so when I got this flat tire, I allowed it to bother me. I allowed it to take me from my center, my, you know, balance, being in harmony. And it's so important that, you know, we understand that, like Tim is saying, the information, the answers are constantly coming in, like when they guided me to go home and not go to my store, and I'm having a conversation with them, like, I'm in the lane to turn to go to my store, and the voice kept saying, go home, and I'm like, no, but I'm in the lane to go to my store, I'm in the lane to make a left turn, and the voice said, but we're holding up the traffic so that you can make a right turn, go home. I'm like, what on earth? So I'm like, okay, fine, I'll go home. And I went home, pulled into my garage, put a few things away. I came back out to the garage to start my car, and my car wouldn't start. So how loved am I, okay, that they would guide me to go home so I could break down in the convenience of my home. I mean, really? That's how much we're loved, folks. Another time, I mean, as simple things. I'll never forget this one time I'm driving, and when I had my store, I used to bring lunch, and I had soup and everything sitting in a container on the passenger seat. And the voice said, "Be careful, it's about to go flying." And I stopped and I said, "There's just no way it's going to go flying. What are you talking about? There's, you know, I'm moving in traffic easily." I mean, really, I'm like having this conversation, right? And they're like, "Okay." And so I continued on, and just as I ignored it and didn't put my hand on it or whatever, the car in front of me stopped suddenly, and I had to put on the brake quickly, and what went flying? My soup everywhere. I'm like, are you going to say I told you so? So, yeah, the communication
is
there.
Well, there's the key there, too, that even you've got to follow through when they give you something.
Yeah.
You have to listen to them, and you have to follow through. It's an appreciation for the intuitive voice that's coming in. And you learn that if you listen to it, whether you understand it or not, and just follow, have faith and trust in what you hear and what you feel, then you'll get the answer once you develop that faith and trust.
Okay.
And that's part of the gift in itself, too.
Exactly.
So, yes.
Believing it and knowing that it's truly coming in. So very interesting. So now you said 9 months ago, this big shift, this transformation happened, and these golden ones came in. How did that happen? I mean, you're meditating, you're doing all these things for, over 25 years. So what do you believe?
I know.
Yeah.
I know. See, what happened is I had all these, they taught me many years ago in my 20s. I was visited by three 12-foot entities, and I think they were the Lords of Amenti. And they came in and they said, "We're going to teach you about thought," T-H-O-U-G-H-T, thought.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Okay." And so they were talking to me telepathically, the one in the middle. And so they took me to another world, into a wine cellar. And they moved some wine casks around by using thought, telepathic thoughts from one to another. And then they turned back to me, the one in the middle turned back to me, and he said, "That is the power of thought." So I woke up the next day, and I just thought, well, you know, I just thought you had to be a good person. You mean you got to think? You got to think
yeah.
good things? And so I spent the next 20, 30 years thinking about thought. Conscious thoughts, subconscious thoughts. And not only that, but they taught me to become aware of my thinking in every moment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this was like, wow, this is 40 years ago. And so what they had me do was tie a string around my finger. And whenever I noticed the string on my finger, to stop in the moment and say, "What are you thinking?" And I said, "Okay." And I did this for like 28 days. And each time it got easier and easier, I would stop and catch myself, like you were saying, those mundane thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
I was saying, "Oh, look at that lady across the street with those pink socks." And I'm saying, "Geez, why am I thinking that?" And what they taught me is if the thoughts in your mind are not love, peace, harmony, balance, compassion, and uplifting, do not entertain those thoughts. If there's fear, doubt, anxiety, stress, get rid of those thoughts. They're like homeless people, that you leave the doorway to your mind open and you allow all these wandering thoughts to come in that aren't really your thoughts, and you're entertaining them. They said, "Don't entertain them. It brings your energy down." And so I spent 4 weeks learning to be conscious of my thoughts and only entertaining those thoughts that came into my mind that were uplifting, positive, loving, compassionate, and so forth. And I just got rid of the other thoughts. And some of the other thoughts were so persistent. They were like, you know, that next-door neighbor that you just can't get rid of. And you could see it coming. You could see these thoughts coming. And I'd say, "Father, remove this thought from me. Remove this thought from me. Remove this thought from me." I was reprogramming my subconscious.
Yes.
Because all of these thoughts are in your subconscious, in which and they're surfacing and they're bubbling up. And you just have to reprogram yourself because they're defeating thoughts. And they're bringing your energy down. And each person each person has to take responsibility. No one can do it for you. You've got to do it for yourself. You
absolutely
have to do it for yourself to become aware of your thinking in every moment.
Yeah, you know, I even have an exercise that I teach people when they have those negative thoughts, right? To cancel thought, cancel thought, cancel thought, and now rephrase in a positive way so that you can really be, you know, we've been so falsely seated, right? And so we have really got to reprogram ourselves, because it's so easy for us to go negative. It's so easy for us to see this lack and limitation and to not be this love. And we have to disconnect from an unevenness of one's temper.
I like the way you said that, because we are programmed when we're little to keep these thoughts, to own these thoughts. Like, you're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You're not tall enough. You're not pretty enough.
Exactly.
You're not smart enough. Mm-hmm. And you believe in this, and they're defeating thoughts that you just have to reprogram yourself when you get to that age of maturity. Just like it, cancel that thought, reprogramming yourself, just like you say, that's exactly what you have to do to reprogram your being.
Absolutely. You know, what they taught me, it was so interesting. This is what they showed me about words and energy. One morning, I'm laying there, and Yeshua came to me. And I'm like, oh my goodness, Jesus. And he morphed into, well, okay, let me go back. So for a week, I kept hearing this word, William. And I'm like, okay, cool. William, are you my new guide? And I heard this word over and over in my head for about 5 days. And then finally, one morning, I'm awakened because Yeshua is standing there. And I'm like, oh, where am I? And I'm moving in the direction of going, walking over to him. And then he morphs into this other person. And this other man was in a short, sort of like, you know, back in the Hebrew, that day, the short dress type thing with the sandals, belt at the waist. I mean, it was like, wow, okay. It's so clear. I walked up to him. I grabbed his hand because I was so excited. This was William. And I'm like, wow, Jesus is morphing into the energy of this person. And he morphed into William. I grabbed his hand. And just as I grabbed his hand, about to ask a million questions, because he had a smile from ear to ear. I mean, I as soon as I think of the word William, I see this face, I see this person, and he's still smiling. I mean, there was so much love and so much kindness. And just as I grabbed his hand, I came back through the vortex. But what came back with me was this energy. It was green and gold. And I'm laying back in bed, and I'm like, what just happened? I had questions. Then they guided me to go into this mantra of I am love, I am light, and whatever. And not to say it out loud, just to say it to myself. And so I started to say it under my breath internally, and my whole body started to ripple like I was on a wave. And I'm like, what's going on? And then I would stop it, and my body would stop. And then I would start it again, and my whole body was like on the ocean, rippling up and down, and it would start. And I did that for a while until they said, understand that it's the will that makes all things manifest. It is the energy behind the I am. And that was the will of the I am presence that came back with you. And so they were showing me how words are energy, and they make things move. They make things manifest. And every time I went into that mantra, my whole body rippled up and down like I was on the ocean, just moving in the waves. It was amazing to know that that is the energy, right? So your I am, God self, the will, the energy makes it move. It was simply
beautiful.
Amazing.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Let there be light.
All you have to do is just tell the universe what you want and then listen. You got to be conscious to listen to how the universe responds to you.
Mm-hmm. Knowing how powerful it is, because that energy, okay, that energy ripples out, right, and then must return to you. Okay, who are the golden ones? Because we'll go on.
I know. Well, that's okay. I think everyone's enjoying the stories and so forth. I mean, that's just part of it, is just interacting and feeding off one another. But the golden ones are, if you want to, I've asked them that in the past 2 days, and I want to say they're teachers. They're the elite teachers of universal teachings, but I'm getting their co-creator gods. They were the co-creator gods that created this classroom of life. And I'm not getting this information. I didn't get this previously until I'm getting it right now.
Okay.
And so when they created this schoolroom where we're coming from, and what before we came here, we were the elite of souls. And we come to Earth because it's part of our evolutionary now. Because previously, when we were in paradise, we had only innate consciousness. And that's how we operated, though. All the kingdoms operate out of innate consciousness. The animal kingdom, the plant kingdom, the mineral kingdom, and the kingdom, the angelic kingdom. And then when we came to Earth, we moved from innate consciousness into God. We came here to become co-creator gods. And this is a classroom for co-creator gods. And when you first come here, you receive a conscious mind and then a subconscious mind so that you can co-create.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I said, you know, when they were telling me this, I said, wait a minute, this, you know, what do you mean innate intelligence? They said when Adam and Eve left the Garden of Paradise and they realized they were naked, it was a conscious thought. And they said, that's the first beginning of the conscious mind. And I said, oh, my God, that's absolutely correct. So before, it was innate intelligence. And so we're here to learn how to use the conscious mind. How to use the conscious mind and use the subconscious mind. Now, to use the conscious mind, it uses reasoning in the five senses, and it validates truth. And it will only put a truth into your subconscious mind. So the conscious mind is the gatekeeper of your subconscious. And all your subconscious does, it acts directly with universal mind. So anything that's in your subconscious has to be a truth. Well, it will be your truth, because we all know that we were taught that the earth was flat, and the earth is not flat.
Mm-hmm.
But because it was the truth and we believed it to be a truth, our subconscious mind would be interacting with universal mind on a false truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you tell people that they need to reprogram their subconscious about doubts and anxieties and fears and cancel, that's what we have to constantly do, is reprogram our subconscious mind, because that is consciously interacting with universal mind in every moment based on a truth. So the conscious mind that we're learning to use, conscious mind to manifest, and that's how you manifest with your conscious mind. And then you put a truth in what you believe to be a truth.
Mm-hmm.
You put that into your subconscious mind, and then you let your subconscious mind interact, and then you go on with your conscious mind and do whatever you want with your conscious mind, and you allow your subconscious mind to interact with universal mind. Well, what's happening is we don't know. The entire universe is based on universal principle of harmony, balance, order, and unity. And what has to happen is we have to align our thinking and our conscious mind to be constantly and consciously aware that we are operating on universal principles of harmony, balance, unity, and order. And unity is for the good of all. So when we create something consciously that's not in those principles, we're going to create a karmic reaction within our being that we have to learn from until we adjust our realign our thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole purpose of the Golden Ones is to teach us to why we're here as co-creator gods, and that if this is the first time we're working with conscious mind, subconscious mind, and how to interact with universal mind. Now, along with this, being co-creator gods, they intentionally put fears and negativity and sensual desires into this schoolroom of life so that we can rise above them, because we have these God characteristics within us. We're created in the image and likeness of God, But, you know, how do you develop patience? How do you develop faith? How do you develop trust?
By knowing the other end of it.
Perseverance. You have to be in these experiences of life and rise above it and pull on what's deep inside of you and develop those God-embedded characteristics within us to overcome these temptations that are there. And it's such a simple process. And
it really is.
We just make it so difficult because we have to, what do we have to do? We have to discipline ourselves. We have to become conscious of our thoughts. We have to be, you know, in every moment, we have to be in sync with our being, with our consciousness, our subconsciousness, and interact with universal mind. And then when you are in total alignment, you can say, let there be light, and there will be light, because you're in harmony, balance, order, and unity with universal mind, and your dreams and aspirations will come true because they're aligned with the principles of harmony, balance, order, and unity, and the universe will grant that. And what universe, I guess you can tell I'm a little excited about this, but to give you the concept of what universal mind is, universal mind is a facilitator of manifestation. It's like the internet. When everyone's connected to the internet, there's only one mind. Everyone is connected to universal mind. There's only one mind. You may think it's your own individual mind, but you're interacting with universal mind constantly. And until you become alert that you're connected to the internet or universal mind, you're just in your own, like your own personal PC is how you're operating. But what's happening is the universal mind is like the internet. And when everyone goes into the internet, there's just one internet. The internet doesn't manifest anything, but it facilitates your desires. It points you into the right direction so that if you want a pair of red shoes, it'll tell you where to go to get a pair of red shoes. Mm-hmm. Universal mind works the same way. When your thoughts and dreams and aspirations are in harmony, balance, order, and unity, and you connect consciously to universal mind and say, universal mind, creative consciousness, teacher of divine wisdom, facilitator of all manifestations, I would like this to happen. And if you're direct and wait, it will happen because there's nothing but peace, harmony, balance, and unity and love in your intention. And so it will grant you that because that is the principle of universal principle of manifestation. All right, I'm through.
Yeah, and it's brilliant, absolutely brilliant. And it's so key, you know, and that's so important. We have to understand that we are co-creators. I like to say we're mini gods, right? And we came forth to express and to see what it was like. So just imagine that you're in the ocean of oneness and all is perfect and all is joy and all is harmony. And you're like, boy, I'd really like to gain an appreciation for this because it's been like this now for the last, 2 million years. I've been in this pure love, pure light, pure joy, pure harmony. How do I really gain an appreciation and be able to feel it a little more, less ethereal? I'm going to step forward. And I'm going to express through this lower dimensional physical body. And I'm going to have all those opposite things, the lack, the limitation, the fear, the whatever, because those things are going to cause me to expand. They're going to be my chaos to bring me back into harmony, to gain appreciation and to flourish. And so it really is like a big experiment. And when we can really just grasp that just a little bit, we'll understand that this, we need to stop being so hard on ourselves and have more compassion and just stay in that space of love, gratitude, and appreciation, knowing, yes, these things I'm going through are going to help me to expand. And in the whole grasp of all of it, it's no big deal because my God self said, hey, this is nothing. This is fun. This is not even a challenge, you know? And we really have to begin to change our processes so that we can see that folks, we knew this would be easy. We knew that this would be okay. We knew it before we came in. You know, they showed me, I went to that still white place before birth, and two of my guides were sitting with me at a table as I was writing in my Akashic record. And when I was done writing, they got up with me and we walked over to the edge, and my mom, I could see my mom down on earth in the hospital room about to give birth to me. I'm like, whoa, this is really kind of cool. And they were right there with me. And it's like, we have to begin to remember that we are just these divine beings truly having these physical experiences. And we have to let go of those things that aren't serving us anymore. This is the time. Let go, transmute, so that we can get to the business of doing what we're here to do.
Perfect. And you know what else they have taught me? They taught me that each person has a training plan. And every experience that we experience, each person we meet, each flat tire, is purposely designed to put us in a situation to see how we react to that, and whether we react out of love, mm-hmm. or if it takes us out of our heart center. And so if you understand this, then as you're going in and you're caught in traffic, instead of going to that place of frustration and disappointment or doubt, or you're running late or anything, if you know you're purposely being put into the situation, it's easier to say, okay, what's my lesson here, and just sit back and wait till it unfolds, until you learn what the lesson is. And what this does, it keeps you more conscious in the moment and keeps you in heart center, so you don't go to those places that's going to disrupt your being and take you away from your heart center and get you frustrated and so forth.
See?
So it's
beautiful,
just amazing if you can just be purposeful and understand that all life's experiences, and what they said is every hair on your head is numbered. And so whatever happens is designed for you. It's mm-hmm. your training plan. No one else's, it's yours.
But yours. So. Yeah, and that's what they showed me when I was in that place writing in that book. And when they told me disconnect from an uneven temper, it really is that important that we understand that. Just amazing. It really is. Wow. So now, why haven't we heard from the Golden Ones before now?
Well, that's because before December, you know, back about 35 years ago, and I shared this with you yesterday, I was having a bad day. It was a bad day. I was still young. I was in my spiritual growth, and I didn't even know what chakras were or entities were or anything like this. And I came home from work, and I sat down in meditation, closed my eyes. And as soon as I closed my eyes, this beautiful golden being appeared to me. I mean, just like I was watching TV. And he was across the room from me in my mind's eye, and my whole mind lit up. And he took a necklace from around his neck and floated across the room and put it on my neck. And it was a gold chain with a triangle on it, an inverted triangle, a triangle upside down, like the lower half of the Star of David. And that was 35-something years ago. And then when I was in New Zealand last year, and I was in meditating, and right before the Mayan calendar shift on 21 December, this was probably, I think it was October, 2 months before the Mayan calendar was supposed to end, mm-hmm. and which was the end of the third dimension. And the Golden Ones came to me in my meditations, and they said they were going to be with me. Well, I thought, okay, a group of Golden Ones. I'm not impressed by these entities that appear to me or anything like that. I just say, okay, I just flow with it.
Go with the flow, yep.
Yep. And so what happened was, is they couldn't come. It's almost like their frequency is so high and the Earth's energy was so dense. They were here before the sinking of Atlantis. They were teachers on Lemuria. And when Lemuria sunk, they left because the frequency of the Earth started to descend. And so now that the frequency of the Earth is rising back into the fifth dimension, it's more plausible for their energy to be here. And the conditions are right because the consciousness of the people is right now. Mm-hmm. In the third dimension consciousness, everybody wanted their pill. Give me that pill to make things go faster. You know, let me just take that pill and everything will be all right. Well, in the fifth dimension consciousness, you have to become responsible for your experiences, for your thoughts, for your words, for your deeds, and your actions. Because now you're being conscious, you're co-creator gods. And it, before we would blame other people, like, well, I didn't do that, they did that, and so forth. And the blame game's over with now. Mm-hmm. That might have worked under the third dimension. But under the fifth dimension, and coming into this consciousness that we're mini gods, the co-creator gods, we have to take responsibility for everything that manifests itself in our life, every situation, because it's ours. It can't be happening to us unless we manifested this in our thoughts or it's for our teachings. And so stop blaming other people, and when we embrace it, we'll get the lesson, we'll get the learning, we'll get the understanding, we'll find out what our connection is with the oneness of universal mind, and that's the whole purpose of it. If you'll, when you start understanding that you become conscious of your thoughts, you become one. You're like in this oneness with the universal mind.
Yes.
There's no one else around but you and your universal mind, and you have these conversations going on, like, universal mind, this is what I desire, and it will manifest in your life. And this is what they've been teaching me for the past 3 months now, once I get over the first 6 months of finding myself.
Wow.
And then they were teaching me how the conscious, subconscious, and universal mind interreacts. And by staying in harmony, balance, order, and unity, aligning this with my thinking and being and in a state of pure love and staying center, your manifestations will come into a reality.
Yeah, it's beautiful. You know, the times we're in are just absolutely amazing, to say the least. And yeah, last year, before the Mayan calendar ended, my light body descended upon me. And that I shared with you yesterday was like a 5-hour experience. It was just so intense. And ever since, I am in that ocean of oneness and I vibrate. It's constant. As a matter of fact, as we're having this conversation, my head is starting to bob as the flow just turned on and I'm feeling in that energy. You know, it's so amazing just how divine we are. I don't know if you can feel it, but I can. It's like it's so strong right now. I can feel this energy. And the golden ones, you know, there's such a familiarity with them because as a priestess in Lemuria, this just, it all just resonates so much. Especially since I understand this energy and all that is unfolding as we are really learning that we are conscious thinkers and that we really have to begin to pay attention. You know, this is just so interesting. The energy is coming in so strong. It's like, whoa, I have to really focus and stay grounded because I'm beginning to lose myself. It's like, okay, hold on, ground in.
I hear you, and I know exactly what you're saying, and I know exactly what you're feeling, because I can when you talk, I can feel what you're going through, and I can see you're not that you're out of sync or anything, but exactly like you said, you're not grounded, and it's like you're floating.
Yes.
And it's like, okay, let's come back to the radio program and so forth.
Wow.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it is. Okay, so the mission of the Golden Ones. Yeah, let me... Their mission, what do you believe it is?
Well, their mission is to bring this teaching into, I did a workshop in Ohio a couple of weeks ago based on their teachings. And during the workshop, it was a 6-hour workshop, and basically it's a little bit longer than what we're spending on it. We go into the conscious mind, subconscious mind. We go into a little bit more detail. But halfway through the workshop, I looked. Someone asked me about crystals, working with crystals, and I looked at everybody, and I saw that there was a crystal inside of everyone. And I'm getting confirmation on this now. And what they're teaching is to activate the crystalline, the DNA in every person. It's raising them to another higher frequency. It's like you say, when you work with people, you're a transformational coach. Well, their energy, what it does, it transforms them from a carbon-based DNA into a crystalline DNA. And what that does, it allows them to vibrate at a higher frequency so that they're more in tune and easier to adjust to the energy that's coming in at that time in the earth, in this time in the earth. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize, you know, it's like, you know, they told you to make that left turn and right turn, and you're in the left-hand lane, and it's like, no, I'm doing what I want to do. Well, I don't know. A lot of times, I don't know what I'm doing, but I follow their instructions, and I don't know why I'm doing it. But they'll show me afterwards or tell me afterwards what I was doing. And I think it's probably, I don't know why, but maybe it's just developing faith and trust, because whatever they ask me to do and tell me to do, of course I'm going to do it. I mean, I'm just, mm-hmm. I'll just do it. Just tell me what I'm supposed to do. But it's feeling. You got to tune into your feeling body, which is part of it, not only your mind, but your feeling body too. So their work now is to activate the crystalline DNA in everyone. But also what it is if every person took responsibility of their thoughts and aligned their thinking with universal principles of harmony, balance, order, and unity, there would be no wars, no hunger, no poverty, no disease in the body. Everybody would be taken responsible for their actions, be working together in peace, harmony, balance, and unity. The consciousness of the planet would just lift tremendously if everybody came into this understanding of taking responsibility for their thinking and align it to accordingly to universal principles. Mm-hmm. Because that's how the universe works, in harmony, balance, order, and unity.
Absolutely.
There's no selfishness by the universe or by God. We're co-creator gods. God's not selfish. Nothing but loving and compassionate.
Exactly. So, you know, the flow of source is always giving. That's it. It goes one way, in the way of love and light, and it's always in that direction. You are either tapped in or you're not. So, you know, if you think
I haven't thought about that like that, but you're absolutely right. It just vibrates like the sun, doesn't it?
Yes. I mean, because for me, it's constant. I constantly vibrate. I can feel the pulsing. And when I, you know, I do energy work and do activations because Source told me, lay your hands on some. I'm like, really? Okay. And so, you know, it's very interesting how, again, you listen, because we listen. And the first time I was guided in a workshop to just put my hand about 2 inches above someone's crown, I had a room full of people and I went to each one individually. And oh my goodness, the energy came in and I could feel and see blocks being removed, heart walls being removed, higher chakras being activated. I mean, all sorts of things were happening. It was just amazing. And, you know, now, of course, the confidence comes with, okay, I understand
exactly.
This. Oh, you know what? I think we have a caller coming in. So let's take that call, Tim, okay?
Go ahead.
Hello, you're on.
Hi, this is Lava. How are you both doing?
We are well.
Fine,
hello, Lava.
Hi, and thank you for this really great topic. I do have several questions, but I'll try to keep it brief. It just so happened I was watching I Am today, Tom Shadyac's new documentary about the universal mind, basically. And he summed it up saying that the way that this society is going is it's mental insanity. And because we're not thinking as a collective, were thinking in a state of competition, and they talked about what that was going to lead to. And ultimately, he felt as though the solution to where we are is cooperation and democracy. That's in alignment with nature. And, you know, they had some serious evidence of how all beings in nature basically have a system of cooperation and democracy, which I thought was in alignment with what Timothy was saying as far as harmony, balance, unity, and order. I had a couple of questions regarding this universal thinking, the universal mind, and then I hear about the Lemurians and the Palladians, and then the I am God-centered philosophy, and I'm trying to understand, because I believe it's all one and the same, mm-hmm. and I'm confused as to where the distinction is and the separation of these philosophies are.
Well, all I can say is that I don't know about, I know that the Palladians are it's a consciousness, and the Lemurians are a consciousness. The universal mind in the I am is probably, I would say, on the same level, your oneness. And from what I get from the teachings of the Golden Ones is that we need to come into that realization that we are one. We're all one. We're one with each other, and there's no separation of this. Now they're talking. They're talking to me now, and there's no separation between me and you, and my mind and your mind and universal mind. We're all one, and it's only in our thinking are we separated because of the personality that we identify each people each person with. So there is no separation. We're all just a oneness. It's just a oneness. And if we come into that consciousness of oneness, first oneness with ourselves, and then oneness with universal mind, we can't really be concerned where anybody else is at, because that just takes us out of our oneness. We go to judgment at that point in time. So we have to just stay in the oneness of who we are at all times and vibrate that. And people next to us will get it. We'll just transcend that. And eventually, everyone's going to come into this oneness eventually. And there's no deadline when it's going to happen. But that's how I see it. I don't know how you see it.
So here's the thing, how I see it. And absolutely, I agree with you, Tim. I'm just going to expand on it a little bit. So just imagine that thoughts are all in this. See the thoughts all in like a bowl. Everyone's thought, because it's all just from source. All of these thoughts are there. And so, you know, all the ideas that have ever have been or ever will be are all in this bowl. So now when we start to connect in, so you might get this idea like, I want to, you know, my husband, house, he creates things. He's designs things. And so he's like, oh, I've had this inspiration. I see this, because it's in that bowl of all possibilities that everyone's connected into. So now he can either take that idea and run with it, or if he doesn't take that idea and run with it, it's still in that bowl, right? And someone else, and it'll be like, well, that was my idea. I came up with that. Well, everyone has that same idea because it's in that bowl. And so you can tap into it or you're not tapping into it. And so all thoughts universal. We're like in this ocean. I love to say we're in this ocean of oneness. And so we're all expressed by this ocean of oneness, but it's our personality that dictates how we individualize it.
I like that.
Does that make sense?
When Timothy was talking, what came up to me, and I think it was Dexter Gordon, who was speaking about another musician who had a certain style that was almost like John Coltrane, of going all over the place to get to a note. And what he said was, it's not important how you get to the note as long as you get there.
Amen.
And when you were talking about these different sources coming together, and it's really all still about the one mind, that's what that's made me think about. Musically, I really understand it now.
Well, and that's key, because remember, right, how many octaves are there, right? And
exactly.
So we're talking about this, because there are so many octaves in this dimension, and then we move through the dark key, the void, and then we go into the next level of dimension. And so it really is all about that. And so the Lemurians, the Palladians, whatever, it's all about the frequency of love. And just, you know, we're here on Earth. We have entities, beings everywhere, but everyone is tapped into love. Everyone is tapped into the frequency of love. The universal tone is the tone of love. It's that creation mm-hmm. energy, and it's mm-hmm. that tone, and that's what we tap into, and all potential is in there. So however it comes across the thought to you, it's the potential. The potential is in that bowl, and you tap into it based on your personality.
I love it. Thank you, folks. I appreciate it. Great topic today.
Thank you for listening and calling. Love you, darling.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
And so, yeah, very interesting, because really the potential, that's that universal energy. It's the potential, and how we tap into it is how we express it. And thank the Golden Ones for coming in. It's just, yeah, so cool. So what do you think will happen if a soul is not aware of their thinking?
Well, you know, eventually new souls come in all the time, and it's only through trial and error do they come in. But it's probably the because we moved into the fifth dimension consciousness, and the parents will become more conscious of what's going on. The children coming in now are so enlightened. Oh, my God.
Yeah, they are.
They're brilliant. And it's sometimes it's the children that teach the parents that are already here about what they have to do and so forth. So there's always someone there to help you along the path. So even though if someone may not be enlightened, eventually they'll get there. Mm-hmm. There, you know, when Adam first realized he was naked and he was using conscious mind, well, we start off by taking care of our initial basic needs. All right, I need clothes, I need food, I need shelter. We only think about ourselves. So eventually, once we get out and we evolve out of the ego of taking care of our basic needs, then we start moving out into our heart center. When we get a family, we start thinking about our loved ones, or if we get a girlfriend, we start thinking about someone else other than ourselves. And then you get a family, and then you're constantly thinking about someone else besides the two of you. You start opening up your heart, and then you start seeing, you start feeling how the universe works through us in developing these feelings from universal love that we start nurturing within ourselves when we start thinking about other than ourselves.
Absolutely.
And it's just a natural process that will unfold in each of us when it happens.
Well, you know, and you're talking about the stages of consciousness, because there are approximately seven stages of consciousness. And, you know, the first one is survival feeling, right? You want to be secure, underlying anxieties. You want to, and then you move and you progress through these levels of consciousness, from relationship feeling to self-esteem, the transformation to becoming more of who you really are, internal cohesion, making a difference and actualizing, to becoming service devoted. And so we can clearly see these levels of consciousness. And so the key is to, of course, never look in judgment, but to always disconnect from that uneven temper, and to always stay balanced, because where anyone is when we're talking about these several levels of consciousness is where they're supposed to be at this time. And so, like Lava said, all roads lead home, whether you're taking the straight and narrow path or you're more like the scenic route and you want to go for all the bends and the curves. And you know what? Hello, I think I'm going to jump off the road completely. Go take a little swim, you know, take a siesta, and then get back on that winding path. And so that's the thing that we have to remember as conscious beings, as spiritual beings. We, because this is free will, and we are co-creators, we get to choose how it unfolds for us. And that's what's so wonderful about it. You can't get it wrong. You might take, and you're going to get to it in your own time. So now, what is the awareness of a soul requires to become an ascended master?
Well, you know, we come here as masters,
mm-hmm.
and we're not going to leave this realm until we're not going to become an ascended master until we understand the principles of the conscious mind, subconscious mind, in our interaction of universal mind. So I think that once we become aware of our oneness with the universe, and we start living that constantly in every moment, then that's when the ascension process will start. Because we can't, and throughout all the other dimensions, that the whole process is based on your thoughts and your thinking. So we're not going to get out of this dimension in this reality and ascend until we're completely our discipline and our thinking as far as being conscious and coming out of our heart center. So that we're completely in control of that. And until we are, it's almost like, what example are they giving? It's almost like going to high school. It's like, when are you going to graduate? Well, you know, once you go past this this level and this level and this level and this level, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, then you're out of high school. But there's so much we have to learn. And then when you come out of high school, it's like, all right, you know how to read, you know how to write, you know how to think, you're a self-developed person, you're mature and so forth. So it's going to be based on it, but I would say that we need to be consciously aware of our interactions of conscious mind with our subconscious mind, and reprogram our subconscious so that nothing is there but pure love, peace, harmony, balance, order, and unity, mm-hmm. so that our interaction is not causing any karmic reaction. The selfishness is gone from within us, and we're working from heart space in each person we meet on a daily basis. It's almost like, and I hate to use the cliche, but it's almost like living the Christ consciousness
it
in
is.
Every moment.
In every moment. Wow. And
every
it's
moment.
So, and you know, as we're talking, I can see so much why they have shown me so much about the energy of your thoughts and how it moves, because it's so powerful. And we really have to understand this idea of programming, and we really have to connect with this idea that we are creating in every moment the experiences that we're having. And for us to truly master this life, we have to really begin to pay attention to everything that we're doing, thinking, feeling, and vibrating. I mean, I can't emphasize it enough. We have to get off autopilot. It's so vitally important. You know, as you're talking about school and you brought up high school, it reminded me of an experience, again, another experience that I had. And I found myself in a classroom, and I was sitting in front of the classroom, and the teacher called on me and said, okay, do this, or something she was instructing. And I stood up and said, I have mastered all of this in every lifetime. And all of a sudden, I went into some sort of song, and I recited every lesson learned in every lifetime that I had, and they said it was time to graduate, and I walked out of the classroom.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Yeah. Before that, I had, you know, and I tell you, I share with you, these experiences for the last, I don't know, 7 years have happened like every 10 days. Early on, I found myself in what looked like sort of like a garage, and it had cubicles all along one wall with all of these tools and boxes on the floor. And I'm like, okay. So I start picking up the tools. I take them out of their boxes and I put them all in the cubicles. And when I have them all in the cubicles, it goes blank and I'm back in my safe place with my teacher. And I said, okay, please explain what that was. He says, you have all the tools. Now it's time to do the work.
Oh my goodness.
And that was about 5 years ago. And then that's when all of the abilities to heal and to clear and get people in the flow and to activate and just all sorts of things started to happen. It's like, wow. And then that's when the coaching and, I mean, everything just unfolded. It's like you have the tools now. And so it's amazing to me that the truth is the truth is the truth. Whether the golden beings are coming in for you, or I have all sorts of different benevolent beings coming in, there's one truth, and that is become consciously aware of your thoughts, your actions, to be in harmony, balance, unity, and in order, to stay centered in your heart space no matter what, disconnect from anything that would cause you to be outside of it. These are principles that we must master.
Exactly. And while you were talking, what they also said, and I know you'll verify this, is you have to be confident that you are this. Mm-hmm. And you can have all the tools and all the abilities and knowledge, but if you don't have that confidence that you are now this co-creator God, it's like it doesn't do you any good, but it's the motivating energy behind your thoughts. Why are you doing it? You're doing it because you're confident. It's like, I am. Mm-hmm. It's like, I know who I am. I am that I am.
And that's why they gave me the will. Yep.
If you just say like, well, I guess I can do it, it's not going to work for you.
It's not going to work.
Yes. God knows I am.
Yeah. It's even beyond belief. You must know it. And that is why, again, Jesus morphed into William, giving me the will of the I am, because it is the energy. It's the knowing. It's the energy that makes all things move.
Exactly.
It's like, it's just bringing everything around. It's so amazing. You must know. I tell you, the first time I was guided to do the energy work, I heard them clearly say, now's the time. You have to know that this is who you are. Stand in your truth is what they said to me, actually. Those are the words they said. Stand in your truth.
Take ownership.
Yeah. Just amazing,
beautiful.
Isn't it? It is. It really is. So what is the overall objective of the spiritual hierarchy training school? It is to become co-creators. It's to become our God selves actualized.
Well, yes. What it is that what happens is there's the universe is constantly expanding.
Mm-hmm.
We talked a little bit about this yesterday. There's NASA proved there's billions of galaxies and there's billions of universes within each galaxy. And what we're learning to become is co-creator gods of these galaxies and universes out there so that we go out and we become, and this is where it kind of leaves me, and I think we become the universal mind for that particular solar system.
Yes.
Now you were mentioned something to me yesterday about what you thought your destiny was becoming a solar system.
Well, you know, it's so interesting because of all of the experiences and, you know, I've been touched and taken to the Council of 12. I mean, beings come in. And so what guidance has come in for me, I think, backs up what you're saying about becoming, you know, this training. And so a part of my sole purpose is to take these soul groups in dream time, because remember, we're dimensional beings, to take these groups and to seed new planets, new blank planets. And after doing this the third time, all of my over souls will come together to create a new solar system. And so that is actually what we're here. This is a training school. I cannot emphasize how important it is to be centered in your heart no matter what. You become the peace wherever you are. Nothing is to take you off the mark. And when you stay in that space and you are diligent in being in that space to be the love wherever you are, and to expand and to connect in and to communicate with your higher self, it really is about becoming your God self expressed. And wow, it's mind blowing.
You know what you say is, it just resonates so perfectly about what the mission is in each moment, is staying heart centered, and regardless of what goes on around us, the drama around the world, we have to stay in our own heart center. Because that is the whole purpose of being here. regardless of what's going on around us, don't leave your heart center and stay there. And be the giver of source that we're eventually going to become all the time. So, yeah, what you're saying is just perfect, and it resonates perfectly with me, and it reinforces what my mission has to be.
Mm-hmm. You know, so. Yeah, and it's so amazing because we have to understand that if we are this energy, right, and we know from my experience of rippling up and down on this wave, so we know that our thoughts, our vibration is energy that makes things manifest. And so the importance of staying in your heart is this. If we watch these negative things, the news and what's going on, and I haven't watched the news in, I don't even know, maybe 15 years. But if we watch these things and we allow that to go into us, and we give it thought, even if we give it thought, but for a moment, we're adding to it, understanding that we're creators and understanding this global karma, this global energy. So what are we adding to it? And so your challenge, right, is to detach and become the detached observer. So we can observe, but we detach from it. So we don't place judgments on it. We have no opinions, really, that's putting too much energy into it. So if we stay centered in our heart space, yes, okay, I see that, okay, and now I'm still love, I'm love, all is well, all is well. And it's not that you're seeing, you know, falsely, but you're seeing the actual truth that all is well and that this is an illusion. And as soon as enough people see it as the illusion that it is, we will transcend.
And not taking sides or going to judgment, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's just amazing. Okay, so you said you had a workshop, so you offer workshops. When's your next one?
Oh, I have one in Warwick, New York, which is October 26th, and it's a six-hour workshop, and it's kind of amazing because I just I tell the golden ones I'm available to them, and I just allow them to have me be invited to do these workshops and so forth to activate the crystalline DNA in individuals and so forth. So I leave it up to them, mm-hmm. and I'm sure they contacted you somehow. We got together to get the word out. And so I leave it up to them to do a workshop. But my next one is in Warwick, New York, October 26th. And if they went to my website, the details. But I'm sure, like you, I'm sort of like spacey right now.
Yes. So now, okay, focus. What is the name of your, what is your website, your contact information?
It's of course, www.thepathtooneness.com. It's all one word. And, you know, that was given to me during my 9 months of transformation. It's like, it was a place that I would never want anyone to go to. But you got to go there to find yourself.
Yeah.
And it's almost like the place where you're backed into a corner and you have no place to go, and then you have to find yourself. But even, you know what they gave me, and I would like to share this, because this you talk about staying in your heart center. I'm in the process of selling my house. I told you that I sold my house and so forth. Mm-hmm. Well, the situation I was in was just extremely stressful, what I came through and that they put me in. But I had to be here so that I was in solitary, so that they could come to me at my weakest point, and I'd be open to listen to them, because I was so busy before helping other people, I never helped myself. And so when I would wake up in the morning and out of my heart center, they told me to play this song, and it's the Bob Marley song, Three Little Birds. And if anyone knows that song, it's Everything's Gonna Be All Right.
Oh,
and
yes.
Any morning I got up, and I was concerned about my finances, concerned about this and so forth. First thing I would do is put that song on. Don't worry, be happy, everything's going to be all right. And it just centered me for the whole day. It's like a reminder, stay in your heart center, stay in your heart center. And so I appreciated that gift they gave me. But if anybody doesn't know the song by Bob Marley.
Oh, yeah. I love that song. Every little thing's going to be all right.
And it does. And it turns out all right, too.
It really does.
We put all these projections in what's going to go wrong. And if we put the projections in what's going to go right, it will work in our behalf. So I'm just so thankful for my oneness with the universe and how the teachers and who comes in and educates me and prepares me and so forth. It's a blessing and it's a gift, and I'm sure you're thankful too for.
Oh, absolutely! Every day I'm so abundantly blessed, and
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
It's joyful. It really is. It truly is. Well, do you have any closing thoughts that you'd like to share with the audience?
No, I appreciate this opportunity of being your guest, and I enjoy your stories. I feel like I'm a listener. I'm listening to your radio program here because I enjoy it. You have some beautiful
the guidance.
Like stories like the bowl of thoughts. I mean, they're just metaphors. You have some beautiful metaphors that just leave an impression in your mind that drives home a point, and you're very gifted with doing it, so I appreciate that.
Thank you.
And I picked up a couple of metaphors that you did tonight, you mentioned tonight, and it's so true what you say. And I have to, even though people think because, you know, you have these beings and that appear to you, and I have these beings that appear to me that we're special or something like that. We're not any special than anybody else. A homeless person is just as special as we are.
Amen.
We still have our own lessons and understandings, and there's always something we can learn. And I learned a lot from you tonight, so I want to thank you for that.
Thank
I
you,
appreciate
Tim.
Those metaphors.
Same thing here.
So stick with me.
And, you know, again, how blessed we are because we get to find each other, to lift each other up, and to support each other as we're out doing this work. And, yes, we are all as divine as the next, you know, and understand you use the word, you describe a bum or someone. Think about this for a moment. That person sitting there on the street begging, he chose this. And why did he choose it? Because he may touch one person. He may teach compassion, and they're not going to step over him and ignore him. They're going to stop and respect and honor him. They're going to share. They're going to do something. And so if it's just that one person that he gets to transform, then he did what he came forth to do. And so we have to understand how divine this is all laid out for us. And so even the bum, the whoever, it's to help us to expand, and they will come into your existence at the allotted time to share with you what it was you agreed to learn from them. And so it's all divine, and no one is less than anyone. You know, we all have our roles we're playing. We all have our job to do. And so you hear these beings are visiting us and teaching us and guiding us, and that's all wonderful. And that might not be your job. That might not be what your calling or your gift is. And that's okay, because that doesn't make you any less divine or special. And so that's the thing, you know, in my book coming out soon, You're Not Crazy, You're Awakening. Oh, yeah, there's tons of experiences. I mean, like I said, I've been taken to the Council of 12. I have all sorts of things, from watching my light body descend to going off planet and literally seeing myself in my Merkaba as I fly off planet. And then some. I mean, that's just the tip of the iceberg. But in my book, I share, okay, these are the things, the experiences that I've had, and I've had them with opened eyes. So, you know, some of them, very interesting that I'm wide awake, like a portal opened and I looked at this blue being looking back at me. I was awake, my eyes were open. I'm like, wow, this is really interesting. It's like, oh, you're blue. Okay. And so it's to say that whatever your unfoldment is, it's fine. And so if you never have a blue being looking back at you, who cares? right? You have what you have. And you have to be okay with that. And you have to understand the blessing that you have. It's all perfectly designed and it's all okay.
In every moment.
In every moment. And if we can be grateful in every moment for what we have and then use that energy to come into harmony and balance and unity and order, then we will manifest more of the same.
Our dreams will come true.
Indeed. When you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are. Indeed,
exactly.
It does not. So, Tim, this has just been so delightful. You know we're going to have to do this again, right?
You know what? I was going to say, if I come out to Vegas, we're going to have lunch together.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I've enjoyed talking to you so much.
Thank you.
I feel like we've known each other.
Oh, I know. I know. Very cool. So I want to thank you. You take care, and we will talk soon, actually.
Very good. Thank you very much for having me.
Okay. Bye-bye. So there you have it, everyone. Wow, what an amazing hour and 20 minutes this has been. It's flown by. Just some really important principles to take heed and to hold in the depths of your heart, knowing them to be, well, hopefully your truth, because it is the truth. We are divine beings. We're here to express ourselves. We are all in this unity consciousness, the flow of oneness. And it's time to tap into it. It's time to become consciously aware in every moment of where we are, what we're thinking, right? You know, there's an amazing movie out there called The Peaceful Warrior. I love this movie. And it says, what time is it? Now? Where am I? Here. And so if we can remember those two things, to always be here and now, that's going to help us to become conscious thinkers, and it's going to help us to start to move in the order of harmony, balance, unity, and order. So until next time, this is Affirmations for Living. You know it's all about affirming a better way of living. It's about discovering your true, authentic self. I am here to assist you on your journey. Again, go to my site, affirmationsforliving.net. Visit me, download the app. Till next time, be blessed, stay in your heart, and know that all is truly divinely well. Take care. This is Reverend Dr. Edvige. You've been listening to Affirmations for Living with Edvige. Join us again next week, Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on the BBS Radio Network, and visit my Facebook page, download my app, Awakened, and visit my website, affirmationsforliving.net. And remember, be the change that you want to see. Until next time, this is Reverend Dr. Edvige. Namaste.